Neighbor and say, God's got a message for you this morning. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, from verse 10 to 18. Let's lay the foundation of God's word this morning. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting in the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Thank you, precious Lord, that we have the privilege of freely reading your word today. We are mindful of the countless lives that were given up so that we could have the printed word of God today. And Holy Spirit, please take these words from being highlighted in our Bibles to being written on our hearts so that we become more and more like the men and women of God you've called us to be, to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, Amen. To recap, last week we discussed the concept of these principalities and powers and demons and all these kutrikis being authorities, having principalities and having power. If God is all powerful, why does the scripture describe these things as having authority? We looked at the fact they do have limited authority under certain conditions. And we looked also at the fact that there is a definite time of evil. There is a time when evil has to come, and it has to come to pass. And then we started speaking about truth, and what we're going to look at this morning is the truth. The truth who's the person of Jesus, but also the truth of who we are at in our lives. And I think, folks, if we could come to terms and realize how we really, really are, you know, we can, and I know, and I just say this by the Spirit of the Lord this morning, I know that just because people are people, there's probably at least one person here this morning that you're putting on the bravest, bravest front that you can. You've taken out your Sunday best mask and you're pretending that everything is okay. You're trying to say the right things at the right time, but inside, you're dead. Inside, you're dying. Inside, there's no hope. Inside, you're absolutely, absolutely desperate. And one of the keys to get us on the path to victory is coming to truth and terms and realizing how we really, really are. Because the good news is, my brother, my sister, is that God really, really knows who we really, really are. And he really, really loves who we really, really are. You see, he's not just into the Sunday you, the best you. He's not just into the you that's portrayed on social media platforms. I mean, like these, all these software programs, and some of the younger folks will know, I've never used it. I don't even know how to get to it. But there's these software things that you can do to make you look picture perfect. All those chicks in those picture perfect pictures, those chicks don't look like those chicks. They don't look like that. And people portray the Facebook highlights or the Instagram, whatever. You know, and you do know that they're going to combine YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, right? It's going to be called YouTwitface. Because a lot of them, that's all that they are. They're just twitfaces that get some social media shine, and you think, well, that's how life really is. Folks, that's not how life really is. I check these chicks, they come up with these poses, and it's the makeup and then all the software work, and they say, oh, I just rolled out of bed. You didn't just roll out of bed. You spent several minutes making sure that that image is just right. And folks, it's time that we as Christians, and especially Christians, get real with ourselves. How do you get real? You say, you know what? I'm born again. I talk in tongues. I can quote this. I give this. I do that. But you're still desperately in need of Jesus. Net soveel soos hy grootste moegoe in die diepte van 'n satanic coven. Ons het almal Jesus nodig, julle. And that's what's being be real about yourself. And that's what we want to do this morning. Come to terms with the truth. We speak about the belt of truth this morning. But the truth is, we need to take a deep, long, hard look at ourselves. I've been studying the scriptures for 50 odd years now. And you know what? The more I know, the more I realize, the less I know. Because this is not just intellect. It's not some degree. And I'm not, people have got offended because I asked people with degrees to answer questions. Just get over yourself for heaven's sake, man. It's okay to have those degrees and those qualifications, but it's important that this logos, the written word, becomes the rhema, the revealed, the spoken, the breathed word of God in our lives. And how can we do that? By listening to a shy, withdrawn, quiet, introvert pastor like me. No, but allowing the Holy Spirit to speak the truth. Like, wow, that's what God is saying to me today. Are we okay with that, church? So that's what we're talking about when we speak about the truth. It says in verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Now, I have different belts. And over the years, sometimes I've used holes that are further to the end of the belt. And then sometimes I've used holes that are further in on the belt. I love these belts that you can just have these special buckles. You can just stretch and adjust them as you go along. Okay? So a belt holds the clothing together. How many of you grew up in the era where you used braces? Braces. It's called braces. Yeah, to keep your pants up. It was cool. And then in the 80s, we went through a phase where it was cool. I bought braces and there I was with my cockroach killer shoes. And we went through this whole new wave era, new romantic dress. We had braces and it was cool. But the belt of truth holds this all together. So, when it comes to seeking knowledge, we're going to discuss the truth being Jesus, the person of Jesus, but today we're going to focus on the truth of ourselves. And if we're going to acquire or get or obtain any knowledge, it must be truth. So the knowledge that we get must be truth. John 8 and verse 32, it says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I remember one of the people that I had the privilege of introducing to Jesus. He asked me, he said, but Mozzie, how do you know? How are you going to know if what the Bible speaks about is real and the truth? And I said to him, you're going to come to know the truth and the truth will set you free. And it goes on to say in the book of John in verse 36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Because I want to say, you say, well, what is the truth? That's the wrong question. The question we should ask ourselves is, who is the truth? The truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Folks, it is such a statement that Jesus made. He cancels out and he overrides any other claim to authority and supremacy than anybody else could ever make. I am the way. I'm not one of many ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So we're going to focus on knowing the truth about ourselves because that starts our journey to real freedom. What do I mean by that? Okay. I want to put you all to the test this morning, whether you've got a degree or not. Okay. So I've got a degree, by the way. I'm BA, I'm born again. That's my degree. It's not a Bachelor of Arts. Hallelujah. Do you really, really, really believe this morning that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins? Do you really, really believe it? Okay? Several of you do. What about the rest? Think about it. Do you really, really believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins? Okay? If that's the case, why then do you have a problem with people knowing the things you've done wrong? You see, if I believe that I'm completely forgiven in the eyes of God, I shouldn't be afraid or ashamed of telling you, this is how I've done wrong. This is hoe het droog gemaak het, how I've made it dry. I shouldn't have an issue with telling you that, because I believe, if I believe that I'm forgiven and I'm set free, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 1. But if I still am listening to some little nagging, accusing voice in the background, your butt. I'm going to tell the devil, you get on your butt, because the God of peace will soon crush you underneath my feet. That's how it should be. Come to know the truth about ourselves. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, the B part. Is in your Bible, you can just write a little B over there. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. The New King James says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You know, while knowledge is important, it's love that edifies the church. I believe it's because of that truth that people many years ago, I don't know who it was, somebody said, therefore I say today, that people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. You see, because what does your knowledge do anybody good unless it encourages and lifts up somebody and points them more to Jesus? Or is it just about you funging shine? So this morning, folks, let's have that deep look at our hearts, how we really, really are. I want to make read a statement to you, and then we're going to see a little video clip. I'm going to ask the sound engineers at the back just to get this video clip ready. And I want to show you this video clip because it might surprise you who it comes from if you've not seen it. As far as I know, and judging by the fruit of the lips, there's a good indication that this man has met Jesus. If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read the newspaper, you're misinformed. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true. You want to get the information first and you want to get it out there. What a responsibility to tell the truth. Goeiem julle. Check this out.
You
just get the volume.
Oh, yeah,
what
did they say? I was running for president. No, I voted.
Let's just restart.
No, what did they say?
You switched your
support. I switched.
Catch it. There we go.
There's been a lot of buzz about this fake news. You were the subject of a fake news story.
Oh, yeah, what did they say? I was running for president. No, I voted. No, what did they say?
You switched your support.
I switched, yeah.
What do you make of all the fake news that it affects you?
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. So what a responsibility you all have to tell the truth, not just to be first, but to tell the truth. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it. Sell it. Anything you practice, you'll get good at, including BS.
You told me last time.
Okay. But you heard me? Does that make sense?
I hear you.
Every time I've seen Denzel Washington speak, when he's the keynote speaker addressing a group of students or university graduates, there's so much scriptural truth that he speaks. So, yeah. And the roles that he's played in the Equalizer series, I've also enjoyed that stuff, like the Book of Eli and stuff. It's been good. But be that as it may, it's a profound statement, isn't it? If you don't read the stuff, you're uninformed. If you do, you're misinformed. What a responsibility we have to pursue the truth, not just having knowledge and having knowledge first. So what is the truth? How do we get to see the truth of ourselves? Well, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our paths. Psalm 119 verse 105. And it says that the entrance of God's word brings light. So we trust that God's word shows us that. In Psalm 139 verse 23 to 24. Let this be our prayer this morning as we, right here and now, as we read it, let us pray this. And we say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Wow. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Can we just let the Holy Spirit do that this morning? Lord, point out anything in me that offends you. Show it to me, Lord. Only the blood of Jesus can deal with it. That's being real. That's coming to terms with the truth of who we are at. And then the psalmist, Psalm 51, King David, the Holy Spirit pens this through him after his little excursion with old Batsam. You know, the story's on the balcony and he checks Batsam and says, this is a very, very beautiful woman. You know the rest of the story. He arranges to have Bathsheba's husband killed on the battlefield. And then he has a child because of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. The prophet confronts him and David has an attitude of repentance. And he says, have mercy on me, O God, Psalm 51. Because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You've broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. How many of us can identify with David's prayer this morning? He comes real before the Lord. He says, Lord, I've sinned against you. And when you judge, you will be fair and righteous and just in your judgment. But Lord, only you have the remedy here. I can't speak my way out of this. I can't organize my way out of this. I can't fix anything. I need your grace and forgiveness. And David asks for complete renewal. Restore in me an upright spirit, a clean and a steadfast heart. You say, well, you know what, Mozzie? I'm not so bad, you know. I don't mess around that much, you know. I don't steal that much, you know. I don't really like murder people that often, you know. So let's just do Ray Comfort's favorite tests this morning. Are we ready to be real with ourselves this morning, church? Okay. So how many of you have ever taken something small that you know does not belong to you ever? Okay, can put your hands down. What do you call somebody that steals something? A thief. Okay. All right. How many of you have ever told a lie? Something that's not the truth. Okay. So what do you call somebody that tells a lie? Liars. Okay. You're being honest this morning. How many of you have ever murdered somebody? Well, how can I believe you? You're a bunch of liars. The scripture says that if you with hatred in your heart say to somebody, you fool, you've murdered. Because that's all it takes to commit murder is to have hatred in your heart. So, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you have ever looked at somebody lustfully thinking, come on, there's so few hands going up now. You bunch of liars, you. When Jesus says that if you even look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. How many of you have ever used the Lord's name in vain? Jesus Christ, did you see what that taxi driver did? Well, then you've used the name of the Lord in vain. Okay? So according to your own confession, you're a bunch of lying, thieving, adulterous, blasphemous murderers. Do you think then that we can relate ourselves to the prayer of David? How many of us, if God had to keep our record against us, would be able to stand before him? Not one person. But God came to fix that by sending Jesus. That is why Jesus had to die. Because the truth of the matter is, what will secular humanism teach? Secular humanism will teach that every person is basically good. And secular humanism teaches that somewhere along the line, because of something that somebody done wrong to them, they must be exonerated and excused from all responsibility for their actions today. They're always trying to blame it on the parents or the government or the police or the upbringing or where they grew up, instead of each person being personally accountable for their own issues. That's what secular humanism teaches. I want to tell you, that thing about every person is basically good is not what the Bible teaches. The world says, just follow your heart. The Bible doesn't teach that. You know what the Bible says about our hearts? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Ach, just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Unless God has given you a new heart, then whose heart are you following? It's actually the heart of God. So that's where we are. You see, folks, realizing our sinful condition is not to condemn us, but to get us to run to Jesus, to get us to realize our dependency upon Jesus. I hope that this message is serving that purpose this morning, that you don't sit here feeling like a slach muchu, but that you realize, I need Jesus. Where I'm at, I need Jesus. That's what the purpose of this is. And that's what the belt of truth is. Realizing the truth of where we are at in our lives. Lord, we need you. Hallelujah. 1 John 1 and verse 9. And we start getting to the good news as I bring this thing to a close this morning. 1 John 1 and verse 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And I want to pause there. This verse is so key because it speaks about confession. What is confession? So the guy goes, the trainee priest. He's a trainee priest learning how to become a priest. And he gets trained by the priest what to do in the little confessional booth. Okay? So he says, he sits in with the priest and the parishioner comes in to confess their sins. And he comes in there and the person says, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. He says, okay, say one Hail Mary, say one Our Father and put $100 in the offering. He says, okay, great. And next person comes in. Now the trainee priest is busy watching this. Person comes and says, Father, forgive me for I've sinned once. He says, what? Well, say one Hail Mary, one Our Father and put $100 in the offering. Great. He says, no, great, I think I've got this. He goes out and the trainee priest sits in and the qualified priest sits outside. So the first person comes into the trainee. He says, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned once. He says, okay, no problem. Say one Hail Mary, one Our Father, and put $100 in the confessional, in the offering. He says, great. Next person comes in and does the same thing. Then another person comes in and says, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned three times. And the priest is like, okay, say three Hail Marys, three Our Fathers, go and sin once more and put $100 in the confessional. Confession is simply confessing your sin. It's saying, I have sinned. But what's key to walking in victory is repenting. Repent, return. Pent is the uppermost level, like a penthouse on top of a building. Return to that. Repent means, I confess that this is wrong. What I'm doing does not please God. What I'm doing is grieving the Holy Spirit. I've confessed. Repent is I turn away and I walk in the opposite direction and do something differently. Repentance is where the Word of God changes the way you think. Then you let it influence your actions and it becomes your lifestyle. So that's what's key. So all 1 John 1:9 says is that God is faithful when we confess. And that if we confess, when we repent, we will be forgiven. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. And God says this, I will forgive their wickedness. It's actually quoting Old Testament scriptures from Isaiah and from Jeremiah. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. Isn't that awesome? I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. I want us to leave it there this morning. The next verse, it's prepared already, is verse 15, but it seems we're only managing to get through one piece of armor a week, but that's cool. I don't want to rush it for the sake of finishing it, but making sure it's something that we can apply to our lives. Next week, we'll speak about shoes and what it means, and it's more than just blue suede shoes. I trust that this has been something to challenge you and encourage you to have a real, open, honest look at yourself this morning. The belt of truth, first of all, we can come to the person that's the truth, because Jesus has the answer and the remedy for our sin. You see, the remedy for our sin is not trying harder, because when you try harder, what strength are you leaning on? Your own strength, your limited human abilities. How many of you, when you've promised, Lord, I'm never, ever, ever going to do that again, have actually kept your word? Like, really? Come on, man. Come on. You know? So we can come to Jesus, who's the truth. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is why Jesus had to die. And the good news is this morning, folks, is that his blood has been shed and paid the price for us, so that we can walk in that forgiveness and experience that goodness. So I want to thank you this morning, first of all, for coming, then for listening and really leaning forward in, and then also raising your hands when we raised our hands like that. I'd like us to stand as we close this off together in prayer and worship the Lord together one more time as the deep end also gets ready. But I just want us to pray together and make a confessional before the Lord this morning. I'd like us to, and I can have an altar call and say, right, you give your heart to the Lord for the first time. It's great to give your heart to the Lord, but God wants your life. Don't just start, I've given you my heart, Lord. Right. I'd like us together, and I'll read it for you. You can just repeat it after me as we pray together. And I want you to really do this in sincerity this morning, folks. And if you don't want to, that's fine. I respect that. That's your prerogative. But this morning, I'd like us to pray Psalm 51 for ourselves. Out together, if you want to pray it, you can just pray it aloud. If not, you can just pray quietly inside your heart together as we pray. So let's together as a body of believers, realizing we want to come to terms with the truth of ourselves, how we really are. And the belt of truth is Jesus that holds all of this together. As we pray together and say, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say. And your judgment against me is just, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt and create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Father, as your sons and daughters have proclaimed your word, we could not have spoken anything purer, because it has been your very word that we have uttered from our lips, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you enable each man, woman, and child to live this out. Holy Spirit, that you take us to a new level of righteousness in you as we learn to live a life of truth, accepting and acknowledging who we are, but allowing you to change us, Lord. I thank you for courage and boldness for each person to live and stick to that commitment, Lord. I thank you for new fruit of the Spirit in their lives, Father. I thank you for each born-again spirit, Lord God, who start to bear much fruit of the Spirit and produce lives that are productive for the kingdom of God. I thank you that these people this morning will be able to stand strong against the wiles of the devil, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they will be able to tell the accused of the brethren to say, "Get behind me, Satan. If God is for me, who can be against me?" I thank you, Lord, that this morning this is more than just a public proclamation, Lord God. This is a testimony of our faith. It is an expression of who we are, whom you've called us to be in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Have an awesome, awesome week. Let's worship the Lord together with a deep end one more time. Thank you, guys and ladies.